Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The Supreme Court unanimously ruled naturally occurring human genes cannot be patented. All nine justices agreed that while naturally occurring DNA cannot be patented, synthetic DNA can. The case at hand involves Myriad Genetics, a company that patented the BCRA1 and BCRA2 genes, genes that indicate a significantly increased risk for breast and ovarian cancer. The court's decision is considered a significant victory for cancer patients whose medication, testing, and treatment costs might go down as a result of this decision. Joining us is experienced biotech patent attorney Robert Blackburn, former vice president and chief patent counsel of Chiron Corporation. He's also a former distinguished scholar at the Berkeley Center for Law and Technology and has taught at the UC Berkeley Law School. Robert Blackburn, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
So how much has the Supreme Court changed the landscape? Your entire career has been spent in a situation where the presumption was a lot of this was going to be patentable.
Well, I think this is a pretty modest change. The reality is that most of the practical applications of this type of technology is done with synthetic DNA sequences, not the naturally occurring ones. So I think this is actually a big relief for industry, this decision.
And in the sense that the Supreme Court is often impatient with Congress, thinking that it's Congress's duty to change the law, is there any sort of indication in here that they would love to see Congress clarifying this? This isn't really a constitutional question. This is an interpretation of current patent law, right?
Right. It's an interpretation of the subject matter part of the statute on patents. There are several tests for patentability. One is subject matter. The other is whether it's obvious, whether it's novel, and whether the patent claims the invention too broadly, broader than the inventor actually enabled. So the subject matter basis is a pretty big sledgehammer to use, but they used it fairly precisely here, fairly narrowly, to just take the natural genes out of the picture, which is, I think, a result that the industry can live with.
Now, let's talk about the Myriad issue for a moment. They patented the BCRA1 and the BCRA2 genes. The Clarence Thomas decision, the opinion written by Justice Clarence Thomas, I believe, suggests that finding a gene and isolating it does not constitute invention. How does the industry look at that?
Well, you know, I think if we remember that there's these other requirements, a lot of people thought that just standard routine work that finds new genes wouldn't be patentable in today's world, not because of this subject matter issue, but because it's obvious how to do it. So, in that sense, the result is still what I think fits a lot of people's expectations here. So, I think it's really helpful if we think that about patent law as being really industrial policy. And what you want to do is encourage people to invest in research. And you do that by letting them get a payback via a patent on it. So the real question is does this inhibit companies from investing in research, which is actually what's going to help cancer patients in the long run? And I don't think this will discourage investment.
So the people who do real work in synthesizing genes, developing real therapies, they're probably not going to have any problem with this whatsoever. It's just the relatively few cases of patentable naturally occurring genes that are going to have a problem with this. And is it retroactive at all? Do you know?
Yes, this would apply to all patents as they exist today, whether they were granted before the decision or currently pending. So, I actually think there are very few patents, and it won't be on a patent-by-patent basis. The patents are defined by claims at the end, and they're usually multiple claims. So Myriad, for example, had claims to the synthetic DNA, and those were found fine. And in fact, the testing technology uses small segments of synthetic DNA. So I'm not even sure Myriad is going to suffer from this decision at all.
finally, is there any sort of downstream conundrum here that this is a decision raises in the sense that, okay, maybe something is synthetic today, but, you know, 500 generations from now, it's suddenly naturally occurring again in some organism, agriculturally or in medicine, and that suddenly we got to revisit all this?
Well, that's certainly possible. As the technology evolves, the law has to evolve to keep up with it. And that's kind of an interesting aspect of this decision is the concurrence by Judge Scalia. I don't know if you read it. I mean, this guy, no matter how you feel about his politics, he's a smart guy, and he wrote a concurrence. I've never seen anything like it. He basically says, I agree with the result here, but I really don't understand the science.
And Scalia is nothing if not honest. That's for sure. Robert Blackburn, thanks so much.
Okay.
Experienced biotech attorney, a biotech patent attorney, Robert Blackburn is a former vice president and chief patent counsel of Chiron Corporation, also former distinguished scholar at the Berkeley Center for Law and Technology, who has taught at UC Berkeley Law School. The decision 9-0, the Supreme Court says, naturally occurring genes cannot be patented.